Oh, yeah. It's bonus time. Get your bonus pod, bonus pod, bonus pod. What's happening, everybody? It is Friday. I'm recording this on a Thursday, but close enough to Friday for me to jump in, give you a heads up on the challenge. Remember, the mean Spyra lady threw down the gauntlet and said, get your bitch ass back to doing challenges. And so we have a month-long challenge, and we hit the third week of that month-long challenge. And so I have about 8 to 10 days left, and I had to lose 13 pounds, and I have been back on the keto, and I'm at 11. So I got about 8 to 10 days to lose 2 more pounds. And what's weird, I'll be honest with you, I honestly thought I was going to shatter it because I'm fat. Just for the record, I started in, I never gave my weigh-in weight, 296. That's almost 300 pounds. Now, I've been over 300 pounds in my life. I'm not the fattest I've ever been. But I know when I'm fat, and at 296, I am a fat effer. Not heifer, effer. So here I was at 296 again. And keto, especially when I have a lot of weight to lose like that, keto will usually knock that crap down like 20 pounds in the first month. I am struggling hitting the third week here of freaking really struggling at 11 pounds. And what's crazy is I have not broken this diet. I swear. My ass has not broken this diet. I have not had any sugar at all that I know of in anything. I've had some, you know, keto things. I've had some fake sugar. I made one of my favorite desserts last night, which was really good to satisfy the sweet tooth, but I eat even that sparingly. I make these, take dates, like 7 or 8 dates, which has a lot of sugar in it, but it doesn't spike your glycemic index because it has so much fiber in it. And you mix that with nuts. I used various nuts, pumpkin seeds and almonds, raw almonds, and then I think there were maybe some walnuts in there too. Ground those all up, put a little coconut oil in there as well, which is a good thing for the keto. And then when I was done, I rolled them up in a ball, rolled them in powdered peanut butter, and then dipped them in melted sugar-free chocolate. And then put them in the refrigerator to cool off. And I eat like one. I ate one last night. I ate two today at lunch. I did have two of those. And I have no idea what the carb content is on those. I don't think it's much. It's really just nuts across the board and sugar-free fake chocolate that is melted down. So, and it's really easy to make those, especially if you have I bought a little Cuisinart food processor, a little tiny one. That thing kicks ass. It like chops stuff up so fast. It's really, really good. I like that thing a lot. So that's where I have what I did last night. And that's like the junkiest thing I've had. I've had some sugar-free keto ice cream at one point, and I milked that out over days. And then my favorite thing, though, as far as the sweet tooth and the keto, has been the sugar-free Cool Whip with the powdered peanut butter in it. It's delicious. It is like a whipped peanut butter pudding. It is so freaking good and has no sugar in it. It's got carbs in it. Even the sugar-free Cool Whip has carbs. And you can have up to 80 grams of carbs on keto. I try to stay below that. And that's what I'm doing. Tonight, I literally just had steak tips, like, you know, cubed steak, and I cooked it with some seasoning on it and a little bit of sauce, which has some carbs. I did have some barbecue sauce on that. My favorite sauce, I haven't found it in the longest time at Trader Joe's, and it was back tonight. It is a sriracha. Oh my God, garlic sriracha. It's so freaking good because it's got a good spice in it. Like, you taste it, you're like, ooh, that's got a kick to it, but it's not like burn your face or anything obnoxious. And I really, really like that one. My fatty fat man food. But keto is a mofo. Keto is a biz niche. and I know her, and she is a biz niche. But I'm trying to do it, sticking on it. Also getting my walk in. I went for a 40-minute walk with ice on Tuesday. Went for an hour-long walk with myself on Wednesday. And as soon as I finish this podcast, I'm probably going to go for about a half-hour walk around my neighborhood. I do have a place to go. I'll walk over to the VA because there's not much traffic over there. There's a hell of a lot of crazy homeless people. I would not recommend it if you are a female. But I'm big and giant and 300 pounds of ugly, so they tend to not mess with me. And I'll go walk over there, like, and just get my walk in and get right back, and I'll have to walk in traffic. People drive crazy over here. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's a lot of young people because UCLA kids are around, or if it's just everybody trying to get to the freeway. I'm very close to the freeway now, and if people are just trying to rush over to the freeway, I do not know what it is. I also have a huge rant on F. Gavin Newsom. Remember, I had changed the name of the podcast for a while to After the Fire F. Gavin Newsom. And I can tell you I did a rant on this on social media yesterday, but I will tell you guys the latest and greatest from our bullshit governor. And he signed a deal. Remember, he's the guy that oversaw the fundraiser they did for the Palisades right after the fire. So they got a bunch of bands and they did a thing and it was $100 million, and shockingly the $100 million was handed over to the Annenberg Foundation. The Annenberg Foundation is very good friends with Gavin Newsom and contributors to his campaign. And I don't know if they mentioned this to anybody, but they have a 70% operating fee on monies collected. So that means they took $70 million of the $100 raised. And I know they gave a small donation to Palisades High School and a small donation to, or small meaning not significant, that $70 million was gone. I don't know exactly how much they gave, but they gave some to Palisades High School, which I'm totally cool with. And they gave some to Shabbat Palisades, which is like the Jewish center there in town. It's not the temple, but it's the Shabbat, and they gave them some money as well. Annenberg family is a Jewish family, and that makes sense to me. I don't know what they did with the rest. They say they gave to other charities not related to the area. So of the $30 million that was left, they doled it out. And now we learn today there is a bill in the they're voting on here in the state representatives this week. And that bill, which they expect to pass, because remember, there's no one in the government of California except for Democrats. So when you have a one-party dominance like we do in California, they just do what they want and no one ever checks them. There's no one to check them on this. And they are making a new law so that they could build a high-rise apartment building anywhere in California, as long as it is within a half mile of a bus stop. Well, bingo, bingo. My ears lit up when I saw that, and I was like, that's weird. Why are they doing that? And this announcement today was all I needed to know. Gavin Newsom gave $101 million to fund low-income housing in the Pacific Palisades. Now, I know people are saying, well, Palisades is filled with a bunch of rich white people. Au contraire, mon frère, you are sadly mistaken. Pacific Palisades is the most culturally, racially diverse neighborhood I have ever lived in my life. And I lived in New York, New Jersey. I lived in Phoenix. I lived in San Francisco. And I lived in Los Angeles. Now, San Francisco, New York obviously have a lot of different, you know, mixes of everyone. I didn't live in New York City. I lived in New Jersey in a suburb, and it was all white people, mostly Italian white people. And it was very middle class. It was not a well-to-do area. Even though I was a DJ in New York at the time, and I was very fancy. I was also only 23 years old. But that was a great neighborhood. And the Pacific Palisades just going to give you the rundown of like the 10 houses around me, just on my street. I had a gay couple next door on the left. I had a Chinese family on the right. They were there the whole time we were there, both of them. I got Popo driving by 5-0, loking out over here on the west side. And then across the street, there was a white family. And then next to them, there was a white British family. And you're like, sounds like a lot of white people. Then next to them was Middle Eastern. And then on the other side of the neighbors across the street was another Middle Eastern. Down a little bit, there was an Indian family, not American Indian, India Indian. And then we had two black families also there. And do you know what all of those people had in common? They all were very successful. All of them. I don't know how I got in that neighborhood. Maybe it's because of my wife, but everyone else there was very successful businessly. And it didn't matter what color you were. That's what was kind of really cool about the Palisades. We had Jewish, we had Hindu, we had Buddhist, we had Christians, we had gay, straight, and that's just my street. That was the ethnic breakdown. And everyone was, you know, I've got a, for the most part, a lot of rich people are uppity, and that's kind of not my thing. But everyone was pleasant enough. A couple times I had problems, but there was a lot of rich white people there too. Yes, there were. But it was culturally, racially diverse, incredibly diverse. So if Gavin Newsom is trying to put low-cost housing in there because the rich white people aren't the only ones that deserve to live in this really nice beach community, it's bullshit. It's utter and complete horseshit. He just wants to bring low-income housing in there so he can look like he's this freaking douchebag savior. And it's a load of crap. And what happens with low-income housing? If any of you live around low-income housing, that's usually where the police cars are going when they drive by your neighborhood. That's usually where the riffraff are. People that, there's something about, I guess, community pride when you've earned your way there. And I don't care if you live in the hood. If you own your house in the hood and that's what you worked your ass off to have, you have some pride in that house and you want to keep it clean and you want that neighborhood to be the best that you can be. And then you get into low-income housing. They have no skin in the game. They don't give a crap about that neighborhood. They're going to live there and do whatever the hell they want to. And it is not going to go over well. It's going to be fun to watch all of these Palisades people freak out on this. I know they're already calling for Newsom's head and Karen Bass's head. And it was funny because just about everyone in that neighborhood that I knew was a Democrat, except for me. They all cringed at me. But everyone was super, super Gavin Newsom, blah, blah, blah. Now none of them are. Because we have neighborhood parties and they all are like, we got to get Newsom out of there. And Karen Bass, oh my God, what's going on? We got to get anybody in there. So, fun to see. But freaking douchebag. And then the douchebag is in North Carolina or wherever the hell he is, acting like he's running for president. It's like, yeah, dude, there's a lot of problems in California. You should probably come back. That guy's the biggest piece of shit I've ever seen in my life. Like, you know what's weird? I would never want to put violence on anyone. Like, I wouldn't want to harm anyone. But I'd like to punch him in the nose. Like, just pow. God, it's got a very punchable face. His lying douchebag ass. I wouldn't want to hurt him or do any ill to him. But God, it'd be nice to smack him once. That freaking asshole. God, I hate that guy. I seriously hate that guy. And then I got that news today. And I'm like, of course you do. Of course he is. So God knows how much low-income housing they're going to put in Palisades, but if it's within a half mile of the bus stop, that's any part of the Palisades, and they can do it on any lot. It doesn't have to be zoned. So in the middle of your neighborhood, and being a guy that worked in rehab for a long time, I can tell you that's a dirty little secret of the rehab industry. They are within their rights to go into any neighborhood and just buy a house and make it a halfway house where people live there, or sober living house where people get out of rehab. Typically, they go into rehab to not go to jail, just FYI, most people. And then they get out, and then they'll live in a sober living for 6 months, and they'll show the court, look, I did this, and it's all on their own dime. And it saves the, you know, city and county and state money that they didn't have to incarcerate this person. They've shown they were trying to get better and over their addiction. And they'll put a house, and you can have, depending on the size of the house, 6-7 people in it living there that are most likely criminals. And you can do it anywhere. And they love to do that in really nice neighborhoods, because you know who really doesn't want to go to jail? Rich people. Rich people don't want to go to jail. So they want to live in a nice neighborhood still, and they will go to a halfway house, sober living house, anywhere. And they have dropped those all over the place. Well, now apparently in California, you're going to be able to drop low-income housing the same way you could drop a rehab house in the middle of Malibu. I forgot what the stat was. I think it's like 63 rehabs in Malibu right now. And that's not counting sober livings. And sober livings are everywhere. I knew there was one literally on my street in the Palisades. There was a like a condo unit building that had sober living in it. I knew because I would take clients there. No one else in the neighborhood knows. But not something you want in your neighborhood. And I don't care where you live. And, you know, I lived in that neighborhood for 23 years. That's the longest I've ever lived anywhere in my entire life, including my childhood of being in Downey. I wasn't in Downey 23 years. I bounced out of there as soon as I got like 18, 19 years old. So, not cool. Not cool at all. I hate Gavin Newsom. Guy is a freaking turd sandwich. Speaking of Downey, though, I will give you guys a fun little story that happened to me on Tuesday night when I went to visit my dog, Iceberg. Icy Burger. I encountered my elderly parents, who are just more and more fun. And I showed up on Tuesday, and I really was just, I want to get in, eat some food, and get out. And what's funny, my dad gets keto now. He's understanding it. My mom, not at all. In fact, my mom called me at work on Tuesday and said, your dad's going to make something, but not if you're going to grab food. And I said, well, what's he going to make? And she goes, oh, he's going to grill steak. I go, I can eat that. Just steak, nothing else. Okay. So I get there, and my dad's grilling steak. I love steak. That's great. And my mom's like, do you want french fries with that? I'm like, Mom, I'm on keto. I can't have carbs. Oh, do you want garlic bread? No, Mom, I can't have garlic bread. Oh, well, do you want... And she named like five more carbs. I'm like, Mom, I'm just eating steak. Nothing else, just steak. That's all I'm going to have, steak. There's nothing else I'm having. Oh, that's boring. I'm like, I know. Tell me about it. It's my life right now. It is what it is, but she is not grasping it. So then I'm like, all right, I'm going to walk the dog, and then I'm going to get out here. Because on Tuesdays, I don't stay in Downey. I come home to the west side. Well, as I was getting ready to go out the door, my mom goes, oh, wait, will you show me how to do something on my phone? Because I can't figure it out. And I'm like, sure. Where's your phone? I don't know where my phone is. And that was the dog and pony show. And just so you know, my father, I know it's hard to believe that this would be my father, who would be the most impatient man in the world with probably the worst temper of any person I've ever met in my life. Ever. Ever. And he has a meltdown because my mom lost her phone. And just for the record, my mom loses her phone 2 to 4 times a day. And I'm not making that up. 2 to 4 times a day. Will you call my phone? I don't know where I put it. It's 2 to 4 times a day. So that whole dog and pony show works out. We find the phone. My mom gets her phone. My dad's having a meltdown. Goddamn, son, I've lost that goddamn phone again. You probably left it over at work. Because my mom still goes to work. Son of a bitch. He's just freaking out. I had to yell at him and say, you're not making this situation better. You think she wants to lose her phone? I'm sure she doesn't. And she damn sure doesn't want to listen to you. So shut up. You're making it worse. So I pump his brakes. Now he's sitting there sulking like an angry little child. And then my mom hands me her phone and wants me to text photos of my niece's baby, my great niece, to my aunt back in Alabama, my mom's sister. Well, I go, let me see your phone. And I texted her. And then just to be safe and smart, I also texted it to my phone. The second I hit send, ding, my phone dinged. I looked and she goes, well, that's what I did. I showed her how to do it. And she goes, that's what I did. And she's not getting it. And I go, well, you saw that I did it to me too. And it came through instantly. So if there's an issue, it's my aunt's phone or her connection. She might be, you know, and she lives in Alabama, and I don't know how, if she's got Wi-Fi in her house. I don't know my aunt's technological situation. I know my parents because I set it up. My parents have effing amazing Wi-Fi throughout their entire house on a really secure network that is on fiber optic, fast as F, fast as F. My parents have great setup. I did it. I bought it. I got it put in. I set up the Wi-Fi. Their house is cool. So my aunt apparently doesn't have that, and the phone wouldn't go through. So I'm like, here it is, and I show my mom, and then my mom goes, okay, I'm going to go call her. And so she talks to her sister every single night. She goes back, and she's going to talk to her sister, and then my dad says, wait, well, my phone is doing this. And apparently my dad's got a Droid, and I'm an iPhone dude for so long, I don't remember how my Droids worked. And his Droid did an update on itself, and it wiped out his screen. It changed everything, and he's an old freak. And he's like, this son of a bitch, I had a picture of the dog on here, and now it's this effing clock. I wouldn't put this bullshit on my screen. I'm like, just give me the phone, turn off your updates, and it'll be fine. You got an update in the middle of the night. So I'm going to his phone, and he's, well, how'd you do that? Show me how to do that. So I'm like, oh, crap. And I'm turning off his updates, and then my mom comes in the middle of that and goes, I just talked to her. She still didn't get the pictures. Will you send the pictures again? And I'm like, no, I sent them. It's her phone. She has bad internet. Tell her to go out of her house, and it'll, next time she goes out of her house, it'll probably come through. Oh, okay. So then she's in there. Then my dad's having more of a meltdown and trying to figure out how I did it. And my mom comes back in the room and goes, she's on the phone. Will you talk to her? And I was just like, oh, my God. It was like a sitcom. Get me the hell out of here now. I got to go walk the dog. I didn't say that. I said, no, I'm not talking to her. Tell her to leave her house or go to the grocery store or reboot her phone. That's another thing. My parents, neither one of them ever turned their phone off, and they were both having phone issues, and I rebooted it, and their phones were fine. And they're like, how'd you do that? And I'm like, it's called turning your phone on and off. It's a computer. Your phone is a computer. Turn it on and off once a day, and the damn thing won't load up like that. So that's my vent about being at home with my parents. On the workout tip, I saw a story, and I could read you the article, but I'm just going to tell you the gist of it. You want to stick to your exercise routine? It says your personality trait determines the kind of exercise you most enjoy. To which I say, you want to stick to your workout routine? Do an exercise that you enjoy. Whatever exercise you like. If it's dancing, go dance. Dance in your house like a crazy person. If it's walking, go walk. If you want to bike, bike. Golf, golf. Play racquetball. Whatever it is, do something you enjoy, and you have a better chance of sticking to it. That's it. They're like, introverts like to do this kind of exercise, extroverts. And I tell you, everyone, if I had you trying to profile yourself and give yourself your own personality traits of what you think you are, oh, I'm definitely an extrovert, I'm definitely this. We all have higher images of ourselves than what's real, so you would probably screw it up and then try to do something and be like, I listened to you and then I did this. No, 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 no. That's not how it works. Do an exercise you like and you'll stick to it. That's good advice. And that's the advice I'm giving you. So that's what I got out of that article. Take it and run with it. That's what I say. My Lord, it is freaking the weekend already. I got Friday, Saturday in Downey, and then I'm back home, and then Sunday, and then it's going to be back to work on Monday for another 5-week grinder. I did get some off time. I had errands to do out of the office for some of this week, and that breaks up the day really good. When you're gone for half the day and then you come into your work, it's not so bad. And I'd had that at one point this week. Even though my boss was, at some point, as annoying as my parents, he had me off campus doing taking care of one of our vehicles, and I was taking care of it, and then he called me and said, oh, there's another one that needs this, so I need you to arrange to take it to this one place that we go to, but have it towed and let them know it's coming. So I did all of that as I'm sitting waiting on the other one to get worked on, and he literally called me back after, as soon as I had everything set, and said, never mind, I don't want it to go there. I want it to go to this other place that we do business with and take it there instead. And then I was like, okay, fine. We'll do that. So I had to call the other place, cancel, get the other one set up. And then he called me and said, hey, remember where you left your car? Because I met him at his house to take this one car to be worked on. And I go, yeah. He goes, I forgot to tell you, they're repaving that area at 11. Now, when I went to get the car worked on, they said it'll be 2 to 3 hours, and the clock started at 8. So 3 hours is 11, which would mean I would be at the place. It ended up being a nightmare. They ended up digging up the street while my car was sitting there. My car got filthy, filthy dirty. Remember, my car, my new car now is black, and it got filthy dirty from them basically doing road construction within 4 inches of my vehicle with a bulldozer. I got there and freaking heads almost rolled because I was pissed. But yeah, I've had a fun week. No fault of my own, though. I'm just trying to hold it together and be a nice guy. I'm still doing stuff on the 49. I will have a show on Big 49 today, Friday. In the afternoon, rather than the morning. We're going to do another Friday. We did one on the 4th of July. We'll do one tomorrow. Motoman will have a show for today, Friday, in the afternoon, and then I will come on right after that and have a show myself. So it is fun times, trying to do a little with the 49. I have an idea of something I want to do with the 49, and we're in the process. I'm kind of trying to set it up on the air on my show today. And then if it goes well, I'm going to do a groundbreaking thing on the Big 49. It won't be me. It'll be someone else. But I'm trying to make something happen that I think is awesome. Freaking awesome. And I will tell you guys about it later. So let's get out of here. I hope you guys have a great weekend. I will talk to you again on Monday with another episode of Fat to Fit or Else, where I will be that much closer to my goal and to beating the challenge of the mean spiral lady.